This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. A new exhibition of photography chronicling ice fishing, entitled Last Ice, explores how the number of frozen days has decreased dramatically on the Great Lakes over the past 40 years. The exhibition is open at the Dawson Great Lakes Museum on Detroit's Belle Isle, and you can see it through April 24th. The photos of not-so-solid lakes and people navigating warmer Michigan winters were taken by Detroit photojournalist Amy Sacca. Her photos on the subject were first featured in the September 2020 issue of National Geographic, and that's when we last spoke with Amy on Stateside. Let's listen to the conversation. Amy Sacca, welcome to Stateside.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Was your family outdoors much in Michigan winters when you were growing up?
Oh, yes. Yes. My dad has ice fished on the Great Lakes for 50 years. So it's been a big part of our family tradition and culture for as long as I can remember.
What kind of winter memories do you have of being out on the ice?
Well, so this was something when I was growing up that was primarily my father's activity.
What, you weren't into getting out there and freezing your keister off in the shed? I'm shocked.
Well, it was much colder back then, right? And but so anyway, yeah, my memories as a kid were that winter mornings were his, and it was his time to go out before the sun would rise. And he would come back around the time that we would wake up, and he would have all these fish. And it was a little bit of a mystery as to what he was doing out there. And I wasn't particularly interested in fishing at the time. So I'd be sleeping in, right? Waiting for breakfast. And so as I got older, I began a photography career. I became very interested in what his experience was like on the ice. And so about 4 years ago, I started to go out with him on the ice and photograph what he was up to and talk to other ice anglers on the ice. And I really saw Midwestern culture come to life. I was surprised. I wasn't aware of how much activity there is on the ice.
A couple of winters ago, you got a grant to work with National Geographic in which you drove around Michigan looking for lake ice. What did you find on that trip?
Well, that was a very interesting year because we had a lot of ice that year. And if you look at ice patterns, we have high ice years and low ice years, but the trend is a downward trend. And so that winter, I was able to get out on the ice quite a bit. And so I think I spent 70 days on the ice.
Yeah, it was a 10,000-mile road trip. It's just astonishing.
It was. And one of the things that I'm most proud of about that trip and that project is that I got the grant through iPhone photos that I had taken with my dad on Lake St. Clair the year before, and my dad and I had plotted out a path to write this grant. What could I do that was feasible in a short winter? And so I applied for the grant. I got it. It was the first time that I had worked with National Geographic. And my dad was a big part of following me along the journey, giving me advice on where to go. And so it really means a lot to me to bring attention to these issues. So that was the beginning of the project. And I wasn't sure if I would go on the ice again, but here we are.
Right.
A year or two later, and I was back out there.
And the conditions are starkly different.
They are.
What were the places that you wanted to go for this updated piece? Again, the first one was just an online. This actually appears in the magazine.
Sure. So I decided to go out on the ice again. I was actually doing a story for another outlet, and I couldn't find any ice. It was, I think, late January, and normally, or early January, normally there's ice on Lake St. Clair, at least at that point. So I went up to Lake Superior looking for it because I thought, I've got to get on the ice. And I thought for sure on Lake Superior there'd be something. But I got up there, and I saw that there was no ice up there. And the first night I was there, I stayed in a cabin in Paradise, Michigan, and I talked to the owners, and they said, the only reason you could book a room in our cabin is because we had snowmobilers who were supposed to stay here. We were fully booked, but they had to cancel because there was no snow. And so I photographed the hotel owner. And as we were going around Lake Superior, I started photographing all the things that were happening around the open water and how people were adapting to the fact that there was no ice. So I photographed surfers. I photographed just people walking around in shorts. And so I decided at that point, what if I drove around all five of the Great Lakes and looked at how this trend is affecting different communities? And I took that idea to National Geographic, and they joined right along with me. And that's what I did last winter.
Now, the spread includes a satellite image of all five lakes taken in February, and none of them has very much ice on it. Do you have a sense of how new a phenomenon that is?
I would say it's in the past 20 years, there's been a real difference. Now, I think the entryway for me to this project was hearing the stories of fishermen like my father who remember growing up and being able to drive their cars across the ice. And that has dramatically changed. You cannot, there's no way you could do that today. And it was a repeated theme that I would hear from people was, we can't fish the way that we used to fish. And if you look at that satellite image, it's astonishing. I think it was taken in late February. That is prime fishing time. My father could not get out on the ice once.
Yeah.
Last year.
It looks like from the photos, there are many ways in which the cultural fabric of the state has been affected by there being less ice. You mentioned fishing, of course, tourism. There's this wonderful photo of the Shandy Days Festival in Caseville, and it just looks like a slush fest.
Yeah, actually, they were really lucky on that weekend to have a bit of ice. But
it's not much. Could you describe the image?
It is not. Yes. So they have a great polar bear dip that they do every year, and I have photographed it twice. And it's just a fun time for Michiganders to come out and enjoy the winter weather. And everybody puts on their swimsuits. And this particular image, there was a woman who was jumping in and her arms are outstretched. And it's a pretty dramatic photo. But I've got to tell you, if you look at those spreads, that's one of the only spreads where you can see some ice.
Yeah. Lake Erie is the shallowest of the Great Lakes, and some of the starkest images that you came up with came from Lake Erie. There's a gorgeous sunrise at Presque Isle State Park over a completely thawed pond in the middle of winter, a city park on a January day that barely even looks like winter, and then there's this one of a tween girl in Cleveland running around in her shorts in January. I mean, people, I can just tell you, people in Northeast Ohio, just like people in Michigan, joke about being A-OK with less ice. But what did you find people saying there about the changes?
Yeah, Lake Erie is one where we are, as you mentioned, it's a shallow lake. So the first time I did this project, that was my go-to lake. The ice is very thick when we have high ice years. And so it was very strange to go to places like Brest Bay where they draw walleye fishermen from everywhere to go on the ice, and there was no ice. And then as I went around the lake, as you mentioned, I met a girl named Gracie who was wearing shorts, and I ran up to her and she just said, it's just not cold enough. And then as I made my way around the lake, I looked out my window and I saw some hunters, and they were throwing decoys on the open water. And I stopped my car and I ran out there. And I said, would you mind if I sat with you for a while and talked with you? And they said, of course. And they were telling me that there was no way in prior years that they would be able to hunt that late in the season. And this was also a big snowmobiling community. And they said a lot of people in that area have had to sell their snowmobiles because they just can't do it anymore.
Mm. You're the woman who wrote the text story that accompanies your images is Alejandra Borunda. Did climatologists tell you or her anything that you didn't know before about some of the causes for the warmer temperatures that we're seeing?
I think the thing that was interesting for me was to learn about how many factors there are. There's a lot that goes into how the ice forms, when the ice forms, where you are on the different lakes. If you'll notice, the story in National Geographic opens in Manoscon, Michigan, and they're used to getting a lot of ice up there. The way that the ice is situated, it locks in there. So they're not experiencing that much. So it's interesting to talk to locals in different areas because some of them haven't experienced that as much. So it's very complicated to try to predict. I mean, if you read, some of the climatologists will predict what the ice level is going to be at the beginning of the season. And I think the first year I did the project, the outcome was radically different than what they had predicted.
We all understand that there are ecological costs of changes in the climate. For example, the costs of drought across the globe to humans and plants and animals. And we understand the cost of rising water levels to just about any community that's near water. But are there consequences for a lack of ice that you know of?
Well, I think from a recreation perspective, for sure. You see it in all the photos. But it's just, it's the fabric of our culture that for me is the most important thing, or the thing that I've seen just so dramatically affect who we are as Michiganders and our identity. And so to see someone like my dad not be able to do what he really enjoys doing, and to hear people talk about how they can't, they're worried about not being able to pass this tradition down, that is just really sad.
So if I may ask, is your dad still with us?
He is. He is.
And how are winters different for him these days?
I think it's fishing from the dock. It's fishing from the dock and just trying to be okay with not getting out there as much. One of the other things I wanted to mention that I saw quite a bit that you mentioned in what you were saying is that high water levels too. I mean, that is one of the other effects of not having as much ice, is the ice, without the ice to protect the shorelines, when you get storms coming in, it can cause a lot of damage with the levels of the water. And so almost everywhere I went on the Great Lakes, Lexington, Tawas, homes are being destroyed there. The coastline is being eaten away. It's a really big concern.
Amy, what is it that you hope people take away from these images that you've captured of Michigan ice, or lack thereof?
Well, I would just like to encourage people to go out in the winter and listen to the sounds that the ice makes, to see the recreation that exists on the ice. It's almost like a whole other being. And you can sense the solitude and the power of nature when you're out there on the ice. And I think not enough people get out there and see what it's all about.
Amy Sacca is a photojournalist based in Detroit. Amy, thank you so much for the project. It's amazing to look at, and for all the work you did on it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Amy Sacca's ice fishing photography exhibit, entitled Last Ice, is on display at the Dawson Great Lakes Museum on Detroit's Belle Isle through April 24th.